Welcome to the Calvary Young Adults Podcast. We exist to make disciples who live and love like Jesus. Here's today's sermon.
Welcome again, everybody, to YA. I am Michael. I am one of the pastors here, and it is so good to have you here with us tonight. We are starting a new series, and it is called The Lies We Believe and the Stories We Tell. The goal of this series, just so you know, for anybody who's preaching up here, is to be super transparent about our own lives and lead out the way in authenticity and transparency about lies that we tend to believe even though that we were followers of Christ and how those lives play out in our stories. So that's what this is all about, and that's what this series is all about. You saw those name tags under your seat. We're not going to use them yet, but have you ever been to a place like with name tags before? That you like come and you put your name on a name tag. A lot of like recovery groups will have these, like if it's AA or Al-Anon or some like old school churches, which I love, have it. Something that's amazing about name tags, is anybody else bad at names in here? Anybody else? As a pastor, that's like a muscle I've had to work on really hard to remember names because it doesn't come naturally to me. I love when people have name tags because that's just one less thing to worry about, right? But when you go to these places, you'll, you know, see that what somebody's name is. And if we were in a place like that, you would see that, you know, my name is Michael. Hello, nice to meet you. If you got to know me a little bit more, and if we had conversations, you would know that I like to play golf. Sometimes I'll practice my golf swing just out of nowhere. You would know if we kept having a conversation that I have two dogs that I love. That I love to travel, and that's something that I really like to do. If we got to talking a little bit more, that's not all that identifies me, right? Like, I'm the son of two parents, Bobby and Judy. I'm the brother to two siblings, Brian and Kyle. I'm the husband to one wife. Her name is Faith. I'm a pastor here at Calvary Community Church. I have a lot of friends that are close friends that I value. Hannah and Tim are here tonight, which I'm so thankful. And if you got to know me a little bit deeper and the conversation went deeper, you would see that I'm longing to see this generation right here carry the church forward into the future, and I believe in you so much. That I love to see people reconciled to God and to one another, both reconciled to one another like on a personal level and then reconciled to one another on kind of a larger scale level across racial, ethnic, and generational lines. I love to see the reconciliation that happens when God calls us to that. You would know that I want to see YA be a place that God moves in a profound way on a weekly basis. And if we talk, that's like, those are some deep conversations, right? If you got to know that about me in a conversation. But if we went really deep, and if I was just really honest with you, I would tell you that there's a lie that I contend to believe about myself. There's a lie that I contend to believe about my identity, and that lie would be that I am insignificant as a person. And attached to that lie would be that, like, my voice isn't that important. And attached to that is really this, like, bottom line of, like, my presence doesn't matter. And those would be lies that when I'm, you know, my mouth doesn't say it, I wouldn't say it out loud, but if I were really honest about me in those dark places or me in my weak places or me in the non-healed, non-sanctified places in my life, that would be the lie that I believe. I'm insignificant, my voice doesn't matter, and that I don't matter. Tonight, we're talking about the lies that we believe and the stories we tell, and I just want to tell you, there are lies that you actually believe. You might not say it with your mouth, but your lives tell the story. And there's this clear framework for this entire series that we're going to use, and we're going to use it on a weekly basis. And the reason we're using it is we want to create a framework for you to be able to understand the lies that you believe, the way those play out in your life, and then the truth of God that speaks to those so that you can live differently. So we're just gonna show you the format right here, just so you can understand what we're trying to do. Let's show that slide. If there's a lie I believe about blank, it's blank. So tonight it's all about identity, it's all about myself. So I just told you, if there's a lie I believe about myself, it's that I'm insignificant. I want you to think about what that lie would be for you. And then the second sentence that I would say is that the story that I tell based on that lie is blank, and I'll be filling in those blanks later on in the sermon. And then the next line just says, the word of God says blank. What does the truth of God say to this lie that I tend to believe so that I can let the truth of God speak to those dark places in my life and those lies that I tend to gravitate back towards? And then the last one is, based on that truth, I choose to blank. So you're saying, based on the truth of God that speaks to the lie, I choose to live in a different way. That's kind of the framework for the next 5 weeks together. We're going to talk about different topics every week. This week, we're talking about ourselves. But before we talk about ourselves, can we talk about the truth about lies? Is that okay? Can we do that? We're going to talk about the truth about lives. Just to give real credit to a lot of the inspiration for this specific section, there's a book called Live No Lies by John Mark Comer. If you haven't pick it up and read it. It's really, really good. Live No Lies, John Mark Comer. So this section right here is really inspired by a lot of his thinking, and I'm just going to get into it. The truth about lies starts here, that we are unique. You saw it in that video. We are unique. Out of anything else in all creation, we're created in the image of God, the Imago Dei. And what sets us apart truly and uniquely when it comes to lies is that we can imagine things that don't exist. Like light bulbs didn't exist and somebody thought of it and then there were light bulbs that created it. Airplanes were not a thing. And then like the Wright brothers made it a thing, right? Like pizza wasn't a thing at one point in history. That's tragic, right? So like pizza wasn't a thing and somebody thought of pizza and invented pizza and now we have pizza. And that's what truly sets us apart in all of God's creation is our ability to imagine things that don't exist yet. And that is beautiful. And that's like the superpower of humans. And that's like, we're not physically imposing, but we're at the top of the food chain. It's because we can think of things that don't exist yet and create them. That's like the superpower. The Achilles heel to that is that we can hold unreality in our minds. We can hold unreality in our minds, and that's our greatest downfall. So just like we can imagine something beautiful or powerful and create it, we can imagine something that's not true and base our entire lives on that. We can imagine something that's actually a lie and base our lives on a lie. So the question is, what is a lie? Everybody say, what's a lie? To understand what a lie is, we first must understand what truth is. So stick with me, okay? This is gonna be like a little equation here. To understand what a lie is, we first must understand what truth is. The best definition of truth that I've seen is this next slide. The definition of truth is reality, or that which corresponds to reality. Truth is what we can rely on as real. I don't have to convince you of oxygen. Oxygen is reality because you're breathing it in and out of your lungs right now, right? I don't have to convince you that this table is real. It's holding up this iPad right now. I hope to convince you tonight that Jesus is reality. And the best definition of reality, so truth is reality, or that which corresponds to reality. Reality is what you run into when you're wrong. I want you to think about this. Reality is what you run into when you're wrong. I'll give you a great example. If I went on the top of this building and said, I believe I can fly, and stepped off of it and tried to flap my wings, reality is what I would run into 1 or 2 seconds later. Reality is what you run into when you're wrong. So like if I have a belief that I could fly and I can't, I get what they call a dose of reality, right? When I'm wrong about a belief and I act that out and I come into the fact that what I believed was not true, that is a dose of reality. To make it so simple, truth equals reality. And lies equal unreality. Are you tracking with me? Are we together? So if truth is reality and lies are unreality, the question that it begs for me is, what is the first lie? And to understand what the first lie is, we have to go to the garden, to the beginning of the story in the book, the Bible, chapter 3. Would you read it with me? Chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may not eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. I just want to pray for you for 1 second before we really dive in. God, I just pray for each person in this room right now. God, I pray for the lies that we tend to believe. God, you know what each one of those is in our lives tonight, those lies. God, I pray that you would do what only you can do through your word and through your spirit with your people gathered together. God, would you wake up things that are sleeping in the lives right here? Would you heal things that are broken in this room? Would you bring back to life things that are dead and dying in this room? Would you do what only you can do through your power, through the power of your spirit and your word? I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, so what is the first lie? I actually believe there are first lies. I'm gonna run through them. So you've gotta stay with me in this section and then we're gonna unpack it. Are you with me? So stay with me here. We're going somewhere. We read this story of the serpent with Adam and Eve, the first two humans. Sin had not entered into the world yet. God said that they were good. And God just said one thing, don't eat from that tree. Here are the lies that came from Satan. Here's the unreality that Satan convinced Adam and Eve of. The first one is God is holding out on you. He's holding back from you. He isn't giving you everything that you deserve. When the reality was God's commands for Adam and Eve was a protection for themselves. The next unreality that Satan convinces them of is you can be more like God if you do things your own way, when the reality was they were more like God than anything else in all creation already. The next unreality that he convinces them of is that you get to define good and evil, right and wrong. That's your job and not God's, when the reality is we are not capable of defining good and evil, right and wrong like that. Only God truly is. The last unreality that he convinces them of is you will have more power, autonomy, and control if you do things your way. And the reality is that you will not have more power, autonomy, or control, but that sin would be introduced into their lives as a result of their disobedience and that they would become enslaved to that sin that got introduced to their lives through their disobedience. These are the first lies, and I would say that every lie we believe is some version of these lies. That God's holding out on you. He's not giving you everything you deserve. Or that you will be more like God if you can be your own God and do things your way. Or that you get to define good or evil, or that you're gonna have more autonomy if you just seize it. All of these are the roots of the lies that we believe. So those are the first lies. The next question I have for us is where do lies come from? And that's so easy, they come from Satan. They come from the serpent in the garden, they come from Satan now. And we've talked about this before, he is a master deceptor and storyteller. And he's really, 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 really good at what he does, but he's also not original. He's just not original. He doesn't have original thoughts of his own. He doesn't have original things to say. All he can do is take God's truth and twist it. And that's what a lie is. It's the truth of God twisted. And that's who Satan is he is the deceiver and he is the liar and he is not original. John 8:44, Jesus says when Satan lies, he speaks his native language or his native tongue. It just rolls off his lips. For he is a liar and the father of lies. What is the purpose of a lie? It's simple. It is to destroy you and to devour you and to keep you from becoming everything that God has created and called you to be. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. So the purpose of lies is also to steal and to kill and again destroy. John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now that we're diving into lies, I want us to understand what lies do to us, how they affect us and how they affect our vision. Lies distort how we see ourselves. Has anybody ever experienced this? Does anybody have a mirror in their houses that's like a good mirror that makes you look good? Anybody have one of those? Like, I recommend you put one like right by your front door. They're usually like the taller, skinnier ones so that like as you walk out, you look at it and you're like, you're looking good today. Like, you look amazing. You're the fit, like everything's just perfect. So we have one of those mirrors and it's literally in our front room. Let's show a picture. Took a picture. Thought it was cute, might delete later, you know, but this is standing in this mirror, like I look in this mirror and I look like slimmer than I actually am, a little taller than I actually am. Like everything just like hangs on my body better when I'm looking in this mirror. And I need you to know that like lies distort how we see ourselves. Some lies are like that mirror. They make you feel great. I want you to think about this. Some lies are like that mirror. They make you look great. They flatter you. They make you think more highly of yourself than you ought to. It sounds like this, like I'm not getting a raise because my boss doesn't like me. And that's like the lie. Like the truth is, you're not getting a raise and your boss doesn't like you because you're a lazy employee. And like, that's like, you don't see yourself clearly. You're flattering yourself. Or like, they're hating on me because they're just jealous of me, right? And it's like, no, they're mad at you and hurt by you because you were a jerk to them and didn't apologize. Or like some guys in here, you might be like, I'm in a season of singleness because none of these women are on my level, you know? Like, that's like your vibe. And it's like, actually, the truth is you're not on their level. And there's a lot of work that God needs to do in your life before you're worthy of one of the women in this room, right? So like, just to call my guys up with me, right? But like, think about it. Some lies, when we believe them, they make us think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Like, my boss just doesn't like me. It's like, no, you're lazy. You know? Or it's like, yeah, they just hate me because they're not me. It's just, no, like, you were a jerk and you didn't say sorry. Or like, get your life together and then God's gonna bring your person. And then some lies are like these other mirrors. Don't you hate these mirrors that make you look all boxy? Look at this one. This is today. I usually don't take pictures in bathrooms at work, but this was today in a bathroom at work. I feel like this mirror makes me look so boxy. And every time I'm like, I go to the bathroom, wash my hands, I look, I'm like, oh gosh, you just look awful today. And so it's like some lies are like this mirror and they make you feel way worse about yourself than you should. It's like you failed one class and now you think you're never going to graduate or you're stupid or you're never going to get the job or you're never going to advance to where you want to because you failed one class and that lie is just dug into your head. Or like somebody broke up with you and now you think like you're unlovable, you're unmarriable, there's something like inherently wrong with you because this breakup happened. And that's just a lie from the pit of hell. Or like your dad left your mom, or your mom left your dad, so you're just convinced that you're destined for divorce in some way, shape, or form because, you know, the sin passes down generations. And it's like, no, like God has a plan and a purpose for your life and it's not divorce. Or you made a mistake and even it was a big mistake and the enemy will take that mistake and make it your full identity. Like you were a child of God. He has adopted you and he calls you his own. You were not that mistake. And the lie will just try to hang shame on you. Like there is shame hanging on some of us in here tonight. And that's just a lie from the pit of hell. You were not that mistake. God says, you're my daughter, you're my son. The last one is like, some lies are like funhouse mirrors. I don't know how to describe it, just show this one. They have us thinking so accurately about themselves. And I had to think about this one a little bit, but like the examples for this one, I think is like, you're like ripped, yoked, strong by any definition of the word. But like, if I could only just get a little bit stronger. Or like you've been trying to get your weight down and like anybody would look at you and say, oh man, they're in great shape. And in your mind, you're like, I just have to lose one more pound. Like, I can't stop, I can't. So like, we have this distorted view of ourselves. Or like, you're successful by any standard of the imagination. You have a great job, people love you, your boss thinks highly of you, but you are on like this treadmill that feels like it's going like at the highest level. And if you possibly slow down, you're just gonna lose everything. Lies distort how we see ourselves and make us think we just have to hustle so hard to be loved or lovable or worthy when Jesus says, you are worthy, my child. You need to hear this. The word of God is like a mirror that accurately reflects reality. Like it doesn't puff you up. It doesn't drag you down. It doesn't distort you. It just shows you for who you are. Shows you for your blemishes, shows you for your beauty, and shows you who God is and how he loves you and how he calls you to himself. I would say the word of God is like a mirror that reflects accurately. And relationships, good relationships are like mirrors that reflect accurately. Do you have good relationships in your life? People who aren't always puffing you up, people who aren't taking you down or making you feel weird about yourself, but just reflect back accurately to you of who you are, who you're called to be, and what God's doing in your life. So that's just a little bit about lies. If there's a lie I believed about myself, Michael, it's that I'm insignificant. What does this say? That I don't matter, that I have no voice. And it's crazy how these lies fuel us if we don't work on addressing these lies. What would those lies be in your life? Here's the crazy thing. If we believe a lie, they take root in our lives and we begin to tell stories with our lives based on that lie. The next thing I need you to know is that lies don't stay in our minds. I need you to hear that. Lies don't stay in our minds. Let's continue on in Genesis. In Genesis 3:6, it says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it and also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the both of them were opened and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Friends, you need to hear this. Lies don't stay in our minds. Lies lead to actions. Lies lead to stories that we tell with our lives. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve entertained this lie that they could be like God for long enough. They entertained the lie that God was holding out on them for long enough. They entertained the lie that they could like have more autonomy over their lives if they just did what the serpent was saying. And so that Adam and Eve becomes the story, not about just like the relationship with God. Their story becomes about original sin because they believed a lie long enough and it came out in their lives. Does that make sense? Lies don't stay in our minds. They come out of our bodies and they come into our stories. They are not passive, they are aggressive. They aren't neutral, they have a purpose to devour, to destroy, to steal, and to kill. And there's only so long you can entertain a lie before you act on it. Just like one of our pastor's wives just had a baby. It's like that baby couldn't stay in the belly for longer than 9-ish months. There's only so long a baby can stay in a belly before its birth. There's only so long you can entertain a lie before it is birthed into your life. And then we live the lies we believe. This quote by psychologist David Brenner puts it really, really well. He says, it's not so much that we tell lies, is that we live them. Dallas Willard says, we're truly at the mercy of our ideas. And this isn't just theoretical. There's a science to this. When we live out the lies that we entertain into our lives, we like carve ruts into our brains along neural pathways. And they're like ruts. If you live out a lie, if you believe something that's not true and act based on that over and over and over again, it's like a car going down a dirt road over and over and over and over again and creating ruts. Have you ever been on one of those roads? Like once you start to go on that, you kind of have, it forces you into the rut because so many cars have been going down that dirt road in the same way over and over and over again. It's the same way with your brain. When you live out a lie over and over and over again, those ruts are formed and created in your brain. And if you ever, has anybody ever felt like I'm just in a rut in a certain place in my life? Sometimes that's not like just a feeling. That's actually like a thing that's happening in your brain, and that a path has been dug into your brain because you've been acting according to a lie over and over and over again. Friends, these lies have us living a story. You can see it in your relationship patterns. You want to have healthy relationships, but you have destructive relationship patterns even though you don't want to. You can see it in your sin patterns. You're becoming accustomed to something that used to be shocking in your life. The first time you did it, shocking, and now it's something that's so familiar in your life. That's a rut that has been dug into your brain that used to be disgusting, that used to be shocking, and now it's comforting, and now it's familiar. And those turn into addiction patterns in our lives of becoming attached and reliant on things that are actually killing you. Like that's what addiction is when you think about it. It's great. Becoming attached and reliant on things that are killing you. I was thinking about this. I'm like always thinking about how to say things in a way that'll like stick in our brains and maybe create new pathways. And it occurred to me that lies are like hit songs. I want you to think about this. Have you ever like heard, like our brains are crazy with lyrics to hit songs. Have you thought about this? Like a song comes on from 2012 and you haven't heard it in 12 years. And the second comes on, you know who it is, you know the artist, and you know what the first lyric's gonna be. and you will sing every lyric to that song. You can't remember what you ate for lunch yesterday, but you know every song, every lyric to that song, right? And I think lies are like hit songs in the way that lies have a way, like deep lies in our lives have a way of like drawing us back to the message that they're giving us. And we just start repeating the lines of those lies in our lives when we're trying to get out of the rut. I don't think I'm making sense yet. So it's like, God created you to be in a relationship with somebody, but you got hurt at one point in your life by a relationship. Maybe it was your mom, your dad, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a friend. And that's like a rut in your life that like you don't trust people. And that's a hard thing to do, to trust people. And that's legit and that's real. But God says like the right person is trustworthy. So you find that right person. It's your fiance. It's your boyfriend. It's your girlfriend. It's a good friend. It's even a family member. And you're like living into the truth of who God's called you and created you to be. And then that old lie comes in like an old hit song. Like that old lie comes in and you're trying to live over here and do all the right things, right? You're trying to do all the right things. And then this lie just starts pulling you back. All these lyrics, you know every lyric. Dance with me. Dance with me. We good? No? Okay. Okay. So you're trying to do the right thing, but the lie is dragging you back to that old behavior. Just like a hit song, you know every lyric, that lie pops up in your head when you're trying to do the right thing, and it drags you back into that rut. I don't think we're getting it yet, so we're going to talk about more hit songs. God created you to like be on mission, and he like you had like your era where you're just doing whatever you wanted to, and then God saves you, and now you're in this new era where you're like, I'm all about his mission, his call in my life. I'm living for you now, Jesus. You're waking up every day. You're trying to model who Jesus is to the people around you, living on purpose, living on mission, and then that lie comes back like a hit song in your head. And the lie comes back, and you're just like, just popping back over, going back to this place in your life that you never wanted to go back to. That lie that says, like, you get to define right and wrong. You get to define good and evil. The point of life is your comfort. You start going back to that rut. Can anybody witness in here? Is anybody a witness to this? Right when you're trying to do the right thing, like right when you're trying to live the life, like live out of this place that like, I know I'm a child of God. I am loved. God loves me. And I am living out of that identity in my life. Nothing else can define me. I'm not performing for anybody's love. I don't need to perform for love anymore because I am adopted. I am a daughter. I am a son of the Most High. And then that hit song, that lie comes back like a hit song one more time. Remember this one? You can sing it if you know it. You can sing it. Just four on the floor. Just going for it. Sing it if you know it. Okay, cut it. We're singing the lie. We don't want to sing the lie here. So, but just like that, like just, when's the last time you heard that song? So long ago, and you know every lyric to it. This is how lies are in our lives. Like, you have a hit song in your life that is that lie. There is a hit song that, like, you walk away from that. God has called you away from that. He's healed you. And then that hit song comes back. And it is so tempting to go back because you know every line. You know what you're going to feel like when you lean into that lie. You know how it's going to pay off in your life in the short term. You know the rewards it's going to give you. It's going to make you feel good in some way, shape, or form in the short term. But that long term is so dead and so empty and so dying and so futile. But it's just so sugary in our ears and in our minds that we just want it. What's that lie in your life? What's that hit song? So we believe, when we believe the lie, we live out the story. There's a way that we live out the story. And for me, I would say based off of the lie that I believe I'm insignificant at times and I don't have a voice or I don't have significance, I will start to live that lie. I will live a passive life based off of that lie. A life of passivity, a life of just floating, path of least resistance, because I'm not significant. If I don't show up fully, nobody's gonna know. So I'll just be over here. It's a life in my worst place of unintentionality. Not intentional with the people closest to me. Choosing the easiest way, saying if I don't show up, like, you know what? I don't have that much significance, so it's not that big of a deal if I don't show up or not. When the people in my life are longing for me to show up. And eventually it becomes, if I follow that path, if I live that lie, it really is a life of no impact. And that is the enemy's plan for my life. The enemy's plan for my life is no impact. He has a script for me, and it is, you're kind of meaningless, dude. Like, you're kind of mid. Go sit on the sideline. That's the enemy's plan for my life, based off the lies that I tend to believe about myself, is that I'm just sideline, and other people are like the stars of this whole thing. Other people are the ones who are really making impact. Other people are the ones really doing the hard work. And you can just sit on the sideline because you're insignificant. So what happens when we live those lies? Let's continue on. We're coming to the end here. Let's continue on. In Genesis 3, it says in verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So what happens when we live lies? I love this quote from John Mark Comer, who I was talking about earlier. He said, when we believe lies, we live at odds with reality, with what God said is good and right and worthy. We live a life that is destructive and spread lies that are cancerous. We show up to all these places in our identity in destructive ways. And here's the thing, reality does not adjust itself to our illusions. That's crazy. And this quote goes with that, and it's said so much more simple. It's this philosopher, H.H. Farmer. He says, when you go against the grain of the universe, you get splinters. Like, when you live against what reality is, when you live into the lies, you get splinters. Friends, when we live out these lies, we feel it in our bones. We feel it in our stories, and we feel the places where our stories are telling a story of death or of destruction or of sadness or of sin. You feel those places. And do you feel those places in your stories that are going that way? You're like, this isn't going that well. Like, something in my life isn't going that well. And 10 times out of 10, it's because somebody in our life is living based off of a lie. And we look at ourselves first, right? We feel it when our story is leading that way. And friends, if we do not intentionally address these lies and allow the truth of God to speak to them, we will continue to tell the same sad stories with our lives. The lies we believe make us tell sinful and sad and broken stories, and we need the truth to transform us to tell the stories God has created us to tell. There's a rewiring of your brain that needs to happen in this. You know, I talked about those ruts that just get grooved into our brains like tire tracks onto a dusty road. Those grooves need to be rewired. And so as a part of that rewiring, even if you've heard this truth 1,000 times or this is the first time, you need to know that the truth is when we live lies, we hide from God and we hide from one another. That's what Adam and Eve are doing in the garden, fig leaves to hide from God and hide from one another. That's the truth, but this is also the truth. And this is where it turns to the truth that rewires your brain. In Genesis 3, it says, but the Lord God called to the man, where are you? You need to hear the truth that when we live lies, we hide from God and we hide from one another. That's what we do. We don't want anything brought out into the light because that's too scary, that might be too painful when we live those lies. Hide from God, hide from one another. The truth is that when we hide, God seeks. I need you to hear that. When we hide, God seeks. But the Lord called to the man, where are you? God comes looking for us when we hide from him. This is the same God that in the parables leaves the 99 and goes after the one. This is the same God in the parables that turns a whole house upside down because somebody lost one coin and had to find that one coin and rejoiced when finding the one coin. This is the same God that when his son went off to live the worst story you could imagine and spent all of his inheritance on the worst story you could imagine and came back just to get a roof over his head, we had a God who runs out to that person who comes back with mixed motives. We have a God who seeks us like that when we hide from him. So what do you do with a God like that, that is seeking after you when you're hiding? You tell the truth about yourself to a God like that, because you were met with grace and mercy and love and compassion and goodness and kindness. Healing happens with the renewal of our minds. If we want to rewire our brain, it comes with the renewing of our minds. This is an important verse for our time together in this series. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will." In Revelation 12:11, it says, "They triumphed over him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." I need you to hear this tonight. How do you rewire your mind? It starts with confession. It says that they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know that testimony begins with our confession in community. Like your testimony, your story of how you overcame in your life starts with the confession in community. That's the ground floor. That's the first page. That's the opening credits. That's the opening scene of your testimony is your confession. Because confession turns into conquering. Confession turns into triumph. Telling the truth about ourselves turns into the goodness and grace of God showing up in our lives, which sounds a whole lot like testimony. So renewal for us looks like the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's what renewal with that lie in your life looks like. With that hit song. With that lie that if you were to just say one thing, if there's one lie that I believe about myself, it's this. We overcome that lie by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And the beautiful thing is that the best way that happens is in community. So we're gonna do something tonight and I'm gonna start us out. Can I just get a couple people up here with me? This is just an analogy. It's not gonna be weird. Thank you, Tyler. Beautiful. Thanks, Becky. Let's get one more. Awesome. Okay, we got it. So this is, we'll see how this goes. So this lie of insignificance said we renew our minds, we overcome the enemy in our life and the lies by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. And so what I wanna do tonight to just show us what it looks like for us to start to overcome that hit song, that lie, is to say this lie that I am insignificant because of what Christ has done and of his blood on the cross and my testimony, my confession in community, like Satan has zero power with that lie in my life. Like that lie in my life is on the cross and the blood of the Lamb is covering it and I have community around me who is agreeing with that. And then the lies that I live out, this is a beautiful thing. I'm just showing you a picture of what we do in community. I say like, this is the lie that I have no voice. I say it in community. You can take that, put that on the cross. Sometimes we're not strong enough to put it on the cross ourselves. Sometimes you need a friend or somebody close to you to put it on the cross for you. Sometimes you're not strong enough to even come and you need to tell somebody about it and they need to put it up for you. Or sometimes you just need to confess it in community so that it can be known. And I can say that, hey, I don't believe I have impact. That's a lie that's been told. You can put that on the cross. Yeah, slap it on there. And then I just say, these are all the ways I wanna be passive with my life when I believe that lie. I wanna be unintentional with my life when I believe that lie. I wanna believe that I don't matter. And so I start handing these out to the people in my lives and they get to put those on the cross and they get to walk with me. You can put them on the cross. They get to walk with me and remind me that I have overcome these lies by the blood of the Lamb and the power of my testimony. You guys can sit down. Can we thank them? So this is what we're going to do. You have two name tags and a Sharpie underneath your seat. Everybody finding them? Yeah? Nice. When we start to worship, if you don't have one, there are some extras over there on the stool next to the bar over there. I've tried to model for you tonight what it looks like to be authentic and transparent about a lie in my life. And then the truth is, based off of the lie that I believe, is that like the truth of God is that he's created me in his image. He's called me his own. I'm his son. He has a purpose for my life. You know what the irony or like the craziness of some of the lies that we deal with is? How crazy is it? We were talking about in the podcast that like I believe like the lies that I don't have a voice and I'm not significant. And God has called me into a role where I have the privilege to like use my voice on a consistent basis. Like that's crazy. And Satan will have me believing that like my voice is insignificant. And so when you think about like the lie that the enemy is like trying to get you to believe, so much of the time he's trying to get you to believe that because the potential that's up under that, that God wants to pull out of you and to use and call you to, is so great that the enemy just wants to come with the opposite plan and try to shut that down early in your life. So know that if this is a lie that like you tend to believe, there's so much potential that God's trying to unlock under that, and Satan's just trying to cut it all off at the pass, if that makes sense. So I'm trying to model this. What we're gonna do with these two name tags is on one of them, I would love for you just to write a lie you tend to believe about yourself. It can be one word, it can be a couple words. However you wanna do that, you can write a bunch of words. It's a small space, but do whatever you want with that. But just write a lie you tend to believe. And then on the other one, write a truth of God that speaks to that lie. Maybe it's a truth of his grace in your life if it's just like shame-filled. Maybe it's his power in your life if you feel like, you know, you're weak. I don't know what your lie is, but try to figure out a truth that you've heard from scripture, you've heard in one of these songs that speaks to that lie. And so you're gonna have a lie and you're gonna have a truth. And so what we're gonna do as we worship, we're gonna have a longer worship set on this back end. As we worship, I want you to come up to the cross and put your lie on the cross, signifying that the blood of the Lamb gives you the power to overcome that lie in your life. And then I want you to put the truth on instead of the lie, okay? So after this, we're just gonna be wearing a bunch of truth on our chests after this worship. I want you to put the lie up here. Here's the other thing. If you have somebody that you're close with, the beautiful thing about community is that we don't have to do this alone. The beautiful thing about community is that we can tell a brother or a sister or a girlfriend or a boyfriend or just a friend about what's actually going on. This is the lie that I actually believe. And you can walk up with them and you can put each other's lies on the cross. You take their lie, put it on the cross. They'll take your lie, put it on the cross. Help each other put truth on, because this is what it looks like for us to overcome. We overcome in community. You can't just overcome on your own. That's not how we're created. We overcome in community. So come up here if you want to do it alone. Come up with a friend. We're going to have some prayer team members over here. I'll be over there too. If you don't have somebody, you want somebody to walk up with you, we'll walk up with you. If you want somebody to pray for you, we'll pray for you. Let me pray for you right now. And then we're just going to take the next 15-ish minutes to do this. Take your time. If it doesn't get to happen even during worship, which I think there's gonna be enough time for it to happen, you can also do it after service. We wanna create this holy space for you to name a lie and have truth spoken to it in community for you to be surrounded. So God, I thank you for each person in this place. God, I thank you that you are revealing lies even as I speak. God, you're revealing lies even as I speak, lies that we tend to believe, lies that are like hit songs in our heads, lies that we kind of keep gravitating back towards, God. We're reminded of your truth. We're reminded that we are adopted. We are reminded that we are sons and that we are daughters. Would we be reminded of your power to call us into a new story that is not driven by these lies that we've believed. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. I hope it was a blessing to you and want to invite you to join us on Thursday nights for service at 7 p.m. To connect with us, follow us on Instagram @calvya_ or on our website, calvarywestlake.org.